We are studying about Jesus Christ coming to this world. If you remember last week, we studied from the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and we read the verse 2.
The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
Okay. And last week we learned that when Isaiah says this, almost 800 years before Jesus Christ came into this world, no one would know what Isaiah was saying. Then we read the verse 6. And so we know he was talking about Jesus Christ. And then we learned that that light he was talking about, that was Jesus Christ. And then we learned that even the Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, when the John was born, Zechariah filled with the Spirit of God and started prophesying. And we learned last week that Zechariah said that horn of salvation has come and God has redeemed us. Luke chapter 1 verse 79.
To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Okay, this is the Zechariah saying, repeating what the Isaiah said. And when the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, he started thinking what Isaiah was saying, that the people are living in the shadow of death and the light has come. Now he knows that light is Jesus Christ. But what I'm trying to say, the situation before Jesus Christ came was not good. People were in the darkness was overshadowing them, and they were walking under death. And so they had no hope, and they were looking for the Savior. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 22 and verse 30, we read that God says he was looking for a man.
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in a gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
Now God was looking for a man, and as I said earlier, he could not find one. All the prophets came, and everyone came before Jesus Christ. There was not a single person perfect can save mankind. Because each and every person who was born in the family of Adam, they had the sinful life. That means the nature of sin, because they were born in the family of Adam. And so God could not save any man through anyone because they were all sinful. And we learn the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what happens? Sin brings the gap between man and God. Or sin brings the wall between man and God. And so there is a separation from God because of sin. So the man was not able to touch God or go to the presence of God because there was a wall. Read the Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Now here the word of God is saying, Book of Ezekiel we read, there was a gap, and Isaiah said there is a wall. So if somebody cannot go through because there is a gap in between, cannot reach God, here he says there is a wall in between man and God. Man cannot reach God. God can reach man, but God cannot reach because of sin. So sin has to be taken away, then there will be, hedge will be mended. Or wall should be broken down, the middle wall of partition. And that's what God was looking for, somebody who can do that. Who can break the middle wall of partition, or who can stand in the gap for the mankind. As we learn, the time of Noah, God was going to destroy the whole world. And he found one man could save the mankind. But as we see, as soon as the flood was finished and Noah came out of the ark and planted the vineyard, and then we saw he was drunk and naked. So he was not a good model for us to find a gap between God and man. And so he was not able to break the middle wall of partition. Book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
So in that condition, when the person lives in sin, his prayer also is abomination to God. So God is not listening to your prayer. There is a wall between man and God. There is a hole or the gap in between man and God. How can mankind approach God? Now look at in all other religion. They are thinking about God and they don't know who God is. They are trying to find somebody can give us knowledge of God, but they don't find anything. Even though they know Christianity is the real religion, but they don't want to go through Jesus Christ. They want to find their own way to reach God. And Jesus Christ said, if somebody comes through other gate or the climbing the walls, they are all thieves. And liars and thieves will not enter into the kingdom of God. So the world was completely sinful before Jesus Christ came into this world. And one day, when Jesus Christ was born into this world, John the Baptist saw him coming. And what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the whole world.
Amen.
Now he got the vision. He said, I didn't know who this man was, but God told me, when you baptize him, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him, and then you will know this is the man is going to take the sin of the whole world. So he found Jesus Christ could take away the sin of the world. And there was none before Jesus Christ. Because we just read in book of Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. He says, I sought a man and I could not find one. But now the John the Baptist says, I found one. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And so Jesus Christ came into this world. The reason why? To break the middle wall. A petition. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and start reading from verse 13.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
We were far away from God. We were not able to see God. But he says, now in Christ Jesus, God brought us together. How? By the blood of Christ. Verse 14.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us.
For he is our peace. Now you remember that Isaiah was saying, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, what it says.
For unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. When you say the Prince of Peace, that means there is no other peace giver. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So he says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one. Both one means man and God. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So Jesus Christ was the only one can break the middle wall of partition. And how he did it? through his blood. Blood has so much power to wash away your sins. And once the sins are washed away, when God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, then God sees you holy, without sin. And that's what it makes us come closer to God. Verse 15. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
So the Jesus Christ came and abolished in his flesh the enmity. Means when man committed sin, man became enemy to God. You remember, God used to come and speak to Adam and his companion in the garden. But the day he committed sin, the man start hiding his face from God. He didn't want to see God. And then God says, Adam, Adam, where are you? You are not in my presence. You are hiding from me. So the sin comes and hides the face of God from you. So he's saying, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law and commandments, means the law was given so the man could come closer, but not a single man was able to do it. Why? These commandments were just trying to give the way closer to Christ. No commandment was able to make man perfect. Only Jesus Christ, when he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and when the sin was condemned, because the word of God says Jesus Christ did not commit any sin. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Jesus Christ didn't have sin. He did not commit sin. But the word of God says, God put our sin on Jesus Christ, so now we could have his righteousness. So the Jesus Christ died for you and for me. And Isaiah says, let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 to 9. Not only our sin, our sickness, our disease, our pain, everything which causes by sin. Sin brings sickness, pain, and disease, and death. So Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, and we see what happened. Please read.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
That means for our sins, he was punished. Our sins were put in on him. So now, he was hanging on the cross, just like the Lamb of God. When John said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God has to be slain. So that's what Jesus Christ was slain on the cross of Calvary. So he says, he was stricken, he was punished for you and for me. Verse 5.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Whatever the punishment we're supposed to get, he was punished for our sins. And that's why we got peace and we got healing. Once the sin is gone, then the man get healed, delivered, and set free. And you get peace with God. That's why if somebody tells you to pray for them, you cannot just say, okay, what's your problem? Oh, I got a headache. Okay, let me pray for you. And if that person is living in sin, the headache is not going to go. Person is not going to get healed. So what you have to say? You know, your sickness, your disease, your pain, Jesus Christ took on the cross of Calvary. And so if you believe that he took your sickness and pain and sin on the cross, and if you ask forgiveness for your sins, right now I'm going to pray for you, and Jesus Christ is going to heal you. He says what? With his stripes, we are healed. So healing comes by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the healer. And once the sin is gone, sickness is gone, the pain is gone, what do you got? Peace. In your body, in your spirit.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
See, he says all people were going astray from God. They were not searching God. They were not looking for God. They were all going their own way. And that's why there was a gap in between. And there was a middle wall, a partition in between. Our iniquity, our sin was laid on him. So we should be so thankful that we are living in this world, and if we die in sin, we will go to hell. But we should say, Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my sin away, taking my penalty away. And that's what God did. So this is the greatest news we have as a Christian. We don't have to go to hell. Our penalty of death is already gone. Okay, verse 7.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
He is trying to say Jesus did not defend himself. He did not say, why me? I didn't do any crime. I'm not a sinner. Why I have to go to cross and why I have to give my life? But as the John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And the word of God says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus knew his mission. He came to die for the mankind. And do you know when he was in Gethsemane, and he was praying, his sweat was like pouring blood, and he would have died in the Gethsemane. And he prayed, Lord, take this cup away. So the people thought Jesus was saying, Lord, I don't want to go to cross. Let somebody go on the cross. No, because he was slain before the foundation of the world. It was settled. You understand? He cannot change it. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ laid his life down. He said, well, I'm going to die for the mankind. And so in the Gethsemane, Jesus was not saying, I don't want to go to cross. Take the cross away. Let somebody go. Do you know when he was standing before the Pilate, he said, I'm going to save your life. What did he say? You have no power. I give my life. I lay down my life myself. No one was forcing Jesus Christ in Gethsemane to die for mankind. So why he was praying then? Why did he say, Lord, save me from this? Why? Because the prophecy is he will die on the cross for you. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then following verse, if you read, it says, whoever is hanging on the tree is a curse. So Jesus Christ came to take the curse away from you. We were going to go to hell. So he wanted to hang on the tree. He was looking forward. When he said, I'm going to go and going to cross, Peter says, no, we should not be going there. And I want to save your life. What did he say? Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking about the worldly thing. So Jesus wanted to go to cross. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7.
When the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard and that he feared.
Now see, here is very clear. He says he prayed with the supplication, with the strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the death. And the word of God says, God heard his prayer and he was free from the death. What death he was talking about? He was not talking about the death of the cross. He died on the cross. But God did not allow him to die in the Gethsemane. So this prayer was answered. Many people are saying, you know, Jesus prayed 3 times and God did not answer his prayer. If God did not answer the prayer of Jesus, he will not answer of anybody's prayer. You understand? God never refused to answer Jesus' prayer anytime. So in this situation, you take the scriptures and compare from his birth unto cross and see where did he pray this prayer. Did he pray this prayer when the Lazarus was dead? No. What did he say? When he came to the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He did not cry with a loud cry. He did not say, save my life. Here in this prayer, he is not talking about Lazarus. He is talking about himself. So, anywhere in the Word of God or in his life, he never prayed this prayer. So, only I can think this prayer was prayed in a Gethsemane. From this we know, Jesus Christ was not a sinner, but he died for sinners, and he took your death penalty and my death penalty on the cross. And so that's what the Word of God is saying. Now he became mediator between you and God. Now the middle wall of partition is broken, the hedge is broken, and now we have way to come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Book of Hebrews chapter 4:16.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
So what he's trying to say, now let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That means now we have boldness to come to Jesus Christ. Before that, we did not have any grace, any power to come to God. He was not able to hear our prayer. He says, your prayer is abomination to me. I don't want to hear anything. But now, because Jesus Christ took your sin on the cross, and now he broke the middle wall of partition, and now we can come boldly to God. For what? The time of need. Whatever your needs are, those needs are met in Christ Jesus. Amen. What the Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, those needs are not going to be met. So, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, now we have grace, we have mercy, and all our needs will be met. And the people who are born again Christians, they have prosperity. I just heard one man said, you know, when we came to Jesus Christ, and our whole village came to Christ, and the other villages, they were not Christian, and the rain came just for our village, and we got all the prosperity, and next door neighbor, they didn't have it. Have it happen? Once you come to Jesus Christ, all your needs will be met. We will not have any need, because God supplies all need, and we do not have to fear and tremble to come to God. You know this, all other people's gods are so fearful. Means they look vicious and people are afraid to go to God. But we don't have to. Because now, when he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, what he sees you? He sees you holy, without sin, without blame. So that is the great thing Jesus Christ did for us. So we have boldness. And so that's why the word of God is saying, now he became our mediator. When we have a need, go to Jesus Christ. Read the verse 25, the Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
He says, come unto me. And once you come to Jesus Christ, he is able to save you from any kind of sin, any kind of wickedness, because Jesus Christ is the only one has the power to deliver us from the sinful life. Why? Because he was sinless. And he was the only one can please God. And he was the only obedient son in the world. So the Jesus Christ did it, and now he says, now he is able to save us, and he is the mediator between man and God. When you have a need, you go to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to Mary. You don't have to go to any saints. You don't have to go to any pastor. You can go direct to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. That's why he broke the middle wall of partition with his blood. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Paul is saying, now we have come to Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So what he's trying to say, you have come to the mediator. You have come to Jesus Christ. And he's saying, let me tell you the difference between Jesus and Abel. Abel's blood was shed, and somebody will say, oh, Abel was innocent because he didn't do anything. He was worshiping God and his blood was shed. But that blood was not able to save mankind. Why? Because that blood was asking God revenge. You remember when God came and said, Cain, where is your brother? What did he say? Am I my brother's keeper? That means go find out wherever he is. I cannot tell you. He thought God doesn't know where my brother is. He says, Cain, your brother's blood is crying out. So what the blood of Abel was saying, when you're reading in Genesis, you don't know. But when you come to the book of Hebrews, and when you read, then you know. So the blood of Abel was asking revenge, and the blood of Jesus Christ was asking what? Forgiveness. That is the difference. He says, and to the blood of the sprinkling, means the blood of the sprinkling of Jesus Christ, that speaketh better things than of Abel. That means Abel was saying, take revenge. Jesus Christ on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So the blood of Jesus Christ is saying forgiveness. The blood of Abel is saying revenge. So the Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is the one prays for you and for me. And he speaks behalf of you. If you do something wrong, the devil is always keeping the record. If you do anything wrong. You remember when the Moses disobeyed God. God told him, speak to the rock and he will give you the water. Moses hit the rock twice. And so God says, now you defile my name, you disobey me, you are not going to go to promised land. So devil took a note of it. When the Moses died, angel came to bury the Moses, the devil comes to fight. He says, oh no, you cannot take Moses, mine now. And there was a fight and angel of God won. So what I'm trying to say, when we commit sin, the devil is keeping track of it. And that's why the word of God is saying the devil is the accuser of what? Brethren. Why he accuses? Each time you commit sin, he accuses. Look at him. He is doing something wrong. But as soon as you confess that sin, your sin is forgiven and forgotten and cleansed. But if you don't do it, then the devil will come to accuse. So that's why the blood of Jesus Christ is there, to sprinkle the blood of Jesus Christ, or take a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ, or wash in the blood of Jesus Christ. Then God will say, this is my child. He's washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's cleansed. He's forgiven. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ speaks. Okay. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20.
Now the God of peace that brought again from dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Now the God of peace. Who is the God of peace? He's talking about Father. The Father had the plan for peace. And that's why he sacrificed his son to make a peace with men. So the God of peace that brought again from the dead. What does it mean? When Jesus Christ came into this world and he was buried, now he came out of grave again. So the Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood. His blood is speaking peace. Word of God is saying, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and then God brought him out of that grave again. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 11.
But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
So what he says, who raised Jesus Christ from the grave? The Father. The Spirit of God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. So he said, if you have that spirit, you will be also raised. So what does it mean? When you are born again, you get the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ in you. That makes you to come out of the grave. And many people in the olden times, some of the Pentecostal people were teaching, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you will not be resurrected. But here he says, the Spirit of God was in Christ, and that Spirit of God raised him. If you have the same Spirit, you will be also resurrected. So the Jesus Christ became the first fruit of resurrection. And if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, and then you will be delivered from the grave. So he says, let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 now. Hebrews 13, 20, okay.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. That means Jesus Christ died and went in the grave and God brought him out. And what happens? Because Jesus Christ came out of the grave, we got a great hope. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
See how we got the lively hope? He says, according to his abundant mercy that hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That means if the Jesus Christ is not risen, we will not have this lively hope. And we will be lost. That's why Jesus Christ came out of the grave. We have lively hope. And now we are begotten. We are born again because of Jesus Christ coming out of the grave. That gives us life. Many of the founders of the religions, different religions, they are dead and they are buried. And some of them falsely will say they went to heaven, but there is no record. But the Jesus Christ is the only one admits in book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. He says, I was dead But now I'm alive forever. So Jesus Christ says, I was dead, but now I'm alive. So Jesus Christ died and rose again. That gives us hope of resurrection. And that hope of resurrection only we have in Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no hope of going to heaven or coming out of grave. So we are the greatest generation through Jesus Christ. How it happened? It says, he shed his blood and he died on the cross. He went to the grave. He came out. And that is the reason we have a great relationship with the Father because of Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus, no one can go to Father. Father doesn't recognize you. You cannot talk to Father. Your prayer is abomination to God. He said, I do not recognize you. And that's what the situation was. And that's what Jesus Christ came. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13.
Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Why Jesus Christ died? To make you perfect, to do good works. And when you do good works, that will be pleasing in his sight. And so the word of God says, before Jesus Christ came into this world, people were doing some righteous things to please God. But God says, your righteousness is filthy rags. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6.
We are all seen as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
Can you imagine, before Jesus Christ came into this world, this was the situation about mankind. We are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as the filthy rags. When you say filthy rags, this is not ordinary rags. Just like this, the leper who puts those rags to cover his wounds. Those kind of filthy rags. And we all do fade away as a leaf. Means it's gone. And our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. This was the situation. Not a single man could stand before God and say, I'm a righteous. I'm doing so many things. And today, in this 21st century, people are giving money to charity. The word of God says, your good works are like a filthy rags. Self-righteousness is filthy rag in the sight of God. That's why we read in the book of Hebrews, go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 21.
Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
So this was the plan of God. The mankind should be doing good works. Mankind should be doing righteous things. Mankind should be pleasing me. But how it happened? It can only happen through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, please read.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, this was the plan of God. God wanted us to walk in his presence, do good things, and this was the plan, but the man was not able to do it. So what did he do? Now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So if you are in Christ Jesus, then you can do good works. When you are in Christ Jesus, helping poor man because you are Christian, then your works are righteous. If you do anything in Christ Jesus, God has ordained before the foundation of the world. God was thinking, someday the mankind will love me. Someday the mankind will do great things for me. But man was not able to do it, so he said, he sent his son. When Jesus Christ obeyed perfectly, the word of God says he obeyed unto death. And he pleased God on the cross of Calvary. So now the enmity is gone. The middle wall of partition is gone. We can come boldly to the throne of God, and we can ask anything in the name of Jesus. Our needs will be met. And so now, whatever you do in Christ Jesus, God says, well done. And God will recognize that. That's what the word of God says. Our labors are not vain in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do in Christ, that remains. Without Christ, your works are not counted. All things without Christ looks filthy rags. But in Christ Jesus, our works are recognized. Our works are recognized, and God says, well done. So let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 21, one more time to finish it.
Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Christ, or through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Okay, amen. Shall we rise? Jesus Christ is the only one, our hope, our salvation, our peace, our joy, our Christmas. Without Jesus, there is no Christmas. If you take away Christ from the Christmas, then what is the Christmas? Ask people, what is the Christmas? And they want to take the name Christmas out. He says, let's make a holiday. What is the holiday? Actually, it's a holy day. Amen. If you take the holy day out, then there is no Christmas. So let's pray that they will see the plan of God. That God wants us to be doing good things, pleasing God, glorifying God, and our righteousness will stay. We will have the holy boldness to come to the throne of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your plan of salvation for mankind. We were dying without God and without Christ. But your word says, due time, Jesus Christ came. He came as the Lamb of God, took away the sin of the world. And now we can live without sin because our sins are forgiven, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we can stand before God boldly, without fear, because Jesus Christ is our mediator. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and breaking the middle wall of partition. And now we have grace and mercy and kindness to come to the throne of God through Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And now you have given us the lively hope in Jesus Christ. We are so grateful to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to preach this gospel of peace to the whole world, because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. We don't want people fighting for food, fighting for liquor, fighting for gifts.
Yes.
Let them know if they have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will have peace, not ordinary peace, everlasting peace.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, give us that grace.
Thank you, Lord.
We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.